Okay, let us say offer the garland. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. No. The flower, the whole flower over it. The whole flower over the head. The whole flower. Yeah. Can. No, can. Can. Yeah. Light the candle, yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. We wait for the garland, then we can proceed with the puja offering. Yeah, can be that's right. You can stand, no need to sit down. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Vivian, you take it from him. Sadhu, sadhu. Just offer like that. Sadhu and rejoice, then pass to the back. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Yeah. Brother, I can go back if you want to. It's okay. Sit down. You sit down. Yeah, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. This is heavy, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, yeah. Sadhu, 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 yeah. Sadhu, get to see it. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Yeah, come in, join us. Sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. And we get ready for puja. Just slowly go back to your seat. Today is the 26th October 2017. It's a Thursday. We are at Brother Suyan's house. So now we get ready for puja. Let us develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the chanting. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. After the salutation, we chant the Vandana. Page 1. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamatang sena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hena pujayami yaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa. Siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena. Punne namate na cha ho tu mo khang Pupang milayati yata idang me Chayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adiva setu no bante Paniyang parika pitang Panukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adiva setu no bante Pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adiva setu no bante Bojanang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration on page 5 based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of candlelights. May this offering of candlelights to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation and bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas, all powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect mindfully to Tripa Jema, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. Bhutang Pujeme. Dhammang Pujeme. Sanghang Pujeme. Okay, you can be seated. Then, Stacy is new, Yeah, we had tonight somebody new who is joining us, Stacy, You meditate before, Stacy? Oh, read your prayer. What type of prayer you do? Mantra. Oh, okay. So, the prayer helps you, to develop the calmness, the faith, and all those things, Then you never meditate before. Okay. Do you know the Buddhist teaching? The essential teaching? Oh, very good. So, online. Okay. Never mind, it's okay, good enough. Huh? So I will explain a little bit. Okay, since you are quite new, huh? So most people who are traditional Buddhists based on their Chinese race or Chinese tradition, they become Buddhists because they were born into a Chinese family. So by tradition, we call ourselves Buddhists. But I came across many people who tell me they don't really know what Buddhism is, what the Buddha really taught. So because of that, it is a common, I should call it not a problem, it's a common case for most Chinese. When I started also same during the early years, when I was in Form 5, 1971, I look at what my mother did, the prayer that he do. She prayed to Kuan Yin, she prayed to dentists, then she negotiated with them. So when I saw that, I thought, if that is Buddhism, sorry, I cannot continue to develop the faith and the understanding. Then later on, I read one book, What Buddhists Believe, written by our chief reverend, the ex-chief reverend, K. Sri Dhammananda, from Brickfield. He is a very good monk. He was a chief monk of Malaysia. Then that book explained very clearly what Buddhists believe. So it differentiates clearly what Chinese traditional beliefs and practices are as compared to the Buddhist teaching. Actually, a lot of the things we do, our parents do, has got nothing to do with Buddhism. So because of that, I was full of joy when I read that statement. Then I decided to look further, read further, to find out what really was the Buddha's teaching. Then when I came upon the essential Dhamma that he taught, the essence of his teaching, which is so simple, the Four Noble Truths. And according to the Buddha, there are just four simple truths. And he called it Noble Truth because if you understand this truth, you will become noble ones or enlightened ones. So afterwards, I will give you one of my seminar books that explain all this. So you read through, you will understand. Then this Four Noble Truths is very, very unique and very strange. Well, the moment I read it, I realized nobody in this universe or this world can understand such profound teaching and summarize them into so beautiful a teaching with only four simple but very beautiful truth. Within the Four Noble Truths, straight away my nature realized all of life, whether it's the mundane or the supramundane, they are all inside there. So how can a being have this type of understanding? He must be the real one, otherwise he cannot come out with this type of understanding. That's why after that my faith was unshakable. From that moment onward, 1971, I went all out to understand this teaching. Then also because I think good karmic past, naturally I developed the understanding and a lot of things just happened. The book come, the teacher come, the guide come, and everything I need just come. Then I developed the understanding. That's why after that, things really, really transform my understanding, my nature and everything. Then when there is condition to share this, that's how I came out to share in the year 2004 when people invited me. So tonight's session is very simple. It's an introduction to this teaching. So what we try to develop is a type of meditation that can lead us to the understanding of his teaching. The Buddha called it vipassana. Vipassana got two words. This is a Pali word. Vipassana. So you can break into two parts. First part is V-I. This part is, the Buddha called it the three universal characteristics. So according to the Buddha, all things in this universe, they exhibit this very unique three universal characteristics. And they are impermanent. The first characteristic is impermanent. Then followed by suffering. Or dukkha. Then the third one is non-self or empty nature or existence. And pasana, this word is to insight into. So when you can insight into these three universal characteristics of nature, you can become enlightened. Your mind will understand many, many things and you become very different. Then you will understand clearly who you are, what you are, and what this phenomenal world is all about. Yeah. And when you have this insight into these three universal characteristics, you are no longer deluded. Means nothing can deceive you anymore. You will know truly the universal characteristic inherent in all things. Yeah. Even our physical body is subject to this same universal characteristic. My voice, everything that you come to perceive in this world or this universe, the planets, the sun, the star system, everything, they exhibit this one. Even our mind also exhibit all this. And this is the most important understanding or awakening that a human being must awaken to. So when you can have this understanding, you will have what the Buddha called wisdom or understanding, to understand life, to live life, and to be free from all suffering. From that moment onward, you will not have problem in life. Nothing in this world or this universe can make you unhappy or miserable. And you will have a lot of love, a lot of joy, a lot of clarity, understanding, leading to the peacefulness of mind, clarity, deep calm and awareness within. Yeah. Then everything is like so meaningful to you, so beautiful. Then you can truly live life to the fullest. Yeah. Then you get to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So basically, we are just developing a type of meditation that can lead to this type of understanding or awakening. Okay? So just bear that in mind. Now we were off the line so that those who know how to meditate can do some meditation. Then those who are new, I will teach you how to develop the training of the mind to develop this type of meditation. I will explain the detail later on. And most of them are in our transcript book. You can go back and take your time to read. You don't have to remember anything. You just listen attentively. Then after that, you go back, you read through the book, you will understand. Because this transcript book are typical Thursday class session, or sometimes Tuesday class, sometimes Sunday class, the typical sharing that has all the explanation inside there, so you don't have to remember anything. Okay, now we are off the line. Then those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed and start. Those who are new, who need instruction, you listen. Then you try to develop what you can to train your mind. According to the Buddha, this mind, if you don't train it, it is very, very heedless. It thinks a lot. Whenever you try to meditate, you try to sit down, the thought will come. Then it makes you restless. Peace is like very difficult to come by. So what we are doing here is We will teach you a technique which we call the mind sweeping method that can allow you to decondition your heedless thinking so that your mind can be peaceful, calm, and just aware without the wandering thought, the heedless thinking, the restlessness of the mind, and all those things. Okay. You make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone, make sure it's straight. Then relax body and mind. Completely relax. Free your mind. Relax your physical body, every aspect of it. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel. Use your mind to feel your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just silently, without words, relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Each and every strand of your forehead muscle, feel. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Again, you feel. Relax every aspect of your eye muscle, your ciliary muscle. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, each and every strand. Feel, relax, feel, relax. Feel your entire facial muscle soothingly relax. Then in order to assist you to relax further, you can develop some skillful means to reflect and visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. You can smile, you have joy. This joy will give rise to a relaxed state of mind. Then you radiate love and metta to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it as you recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Then you continue to radiate love and metta to it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You must feel your entire body and mind having this well-being and happiness. Then free of all suffering, whether mental or physical suffering. Then may it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Feel it. Then you can radiate the same loving kindness or metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers, my sister, my spouse, my children, and all those who have relationship with you, including your good friend, your neighbors, and all those things. May they all too be well, happy, and peaceful. Well, happy, and peaceful. You can visualize them one by one if you want to, and wish them well-being and happiness. Then may their entire body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Radiate this love and feel it. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then now you start to develop the radiation of metta towards all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya and all Kalyanamitas who are meditating together with us, and all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful. Well, happy and peaceful. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this metta or love towards all beings within the entire universe. May all beings within the whole of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then Mother Earth, extending to our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe or existence, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful. Well, happy and peaceful. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, you just feel and relax them all. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax. Then hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area, your chest area. Feel, just feel. Silence your mind and just feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within. You just silence your mind and stay with it. Feel it. If you are new, if you are not sensitive, you can't feel anything, it's okay. Because the untrained mind is such, it can't really have the sensitivity or mindfulness to feel all this. So what you do is you just silence your mind and feel your heart area, like you feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move this mind sweeping method down. You move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax, then move it down to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then you continue to sweep it down to your buttock, feel, relax, your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole process of mind sweeping method. Feel your leg, relax, then your buttock, relax. Then you move it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then back to chest area, feel, relax. Then you sweep it up to your neck, shoulder, hand, then back to shoulder. Again, you feel and relax. Don't think, just feel and relax. Then you move it on to your facial muscle, feel. Feel that each and every part of your facial muscle is truly relaxed and silent. Then you move it up again to feel your eye muscle, your forehead muscle. Then you silence everything. By now you should be calm, should be peaceful. There should be calmness within. No thought, nothing, just a state of calmness, balance, aware. This is a very good state. We have to learn to stabilize this state. So we will move on to learn another skillful means. The Buddha called it Anapanasati, means you train your mind to develop the mindfulness of in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati, anapanasati is actually a type of meditation which develops the mindfulness on the in and out breath. So like the Buddha's instruction, you keep your mind awareness in front of your nostril. You just silence everything and allow the breath to breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then you silence your mind to detect this breathing. The moment you detect, mind and breath move as one. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Then breathing in long breath, the mind is aware. Breathing out long breath, the mind is aware. Then later on, when there is this short breath, you will also do the same. Breathing in, short breath, away. Breathing out, short breath, away. Just relax body and mind and allow this awareness training to continue. Initially, you are not trained. Within split second, you realize your mind will wander off, think a lot. You can't maintain awareness or develop that focus in front of your nostril to be mindful of your in and out breath. Initially, it's okay because the untrained mind think a lot, wanders off very fast. So every time it wanders off, you have to maintain patience to develop this training of mindfulness of the in and out breath. So every time this mind wanders off, bring it back to the object of meditation, the nostril in front. Then silence everything to repeat the whole process. Breathing in, aware, without thought. Breathing out, aware, without thought. The mind and the breath move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. If you are patient enough, not long, this anapanasati will settle down. Then you will feel a lot of calmness, a lot of peacefulness born of the trained mind. The mind that is trained is without thought, but only aware. So when it's aware, it will have this calmness arising. The Buddha called it piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture, or spiritual peacefulness of mind that arises when there is no more thinking, when there is just awareness within. Then you continue to relax into that state. Even that piti will transform and become more and more refined, more and more soothing. Then you experience what they call sukha. Sukha is another state of more refined mind state. They call it spiritual blissfulness. The mind becomes very blissful, full of very, very sharp, blissful experience. It's like you feel very good, really, really good. Then you continue to relax into it and allow the meditation to continue. Sometimes if it's too strong, it will go into absorption. But always remember, when energy builds up, just relax into it. Come out to normal state awareness and continue with the awareness meditation. So the four support for this type of meditation is just relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then silent, which is to maintain awareness. Silent, aware. Then after that, maintain this state for as long as you can. So initially, I will let you develop that type of training so that your mind can settle down, become quiet, peaceful, and just aware within to develop the meditation. Then when you are able to be in this mind state, you will be constantly aware, ever mindful, to cultivate the noble teaching of the Buddha, the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is what the meditation is all about, Vipassana. So now I will stop the instruction. I will let you meditate. Then in 10 to 15 minutes, I will ring the bell. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue for those who have now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6, page 6 of the chanting book. We will recite the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now we chant together the Pali. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Nuhiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pacha. Buddhang Puchemi Dhammang Puchemi Sanghang Puchemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question and answer that you may have. Okay. Regarding the question, it can be anything regarding your meditation, the teaching, and how you can develop the understanding of this teaching to help you to understand life. You can ask all those questions that are related to these topics. Okay, we will open it up. You just have to put up your hand if you got any meditation to report. Then I will advise you accordingly. Then you can ask whatever question that you may have. Okay, we open it up. Anybody wants to report the meditation? How do you find the new lady? What's the name again? Stacy, okay. yeah. Just use the mic so that we can hear you. Yeah. Thank you, Stacy. Yeah, you better go. Yeah. Let's see. Thanks for coming. Sadhu. Yeah, no problem. It's okay. Sadhu, Thank you. Sadhu, Sadhu. Yeah, you can start.
What is report of meditation?
Oh, report means you just report to me exactly how you go through the meditation.
Oh, okay. My forehead is very pain.
Oh, very painful, heavy.
And my
back.
Very strong energy.
Okay.
I can feel my teeth is vibrating.
Oh, sadhu.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the report.
yeah. Were you able to follow the instruction given?
Yeah.
Oh, good. You can follow means you should be able to calm yourself down. Maybe you miss out one or two words that are very important. The first thing I mentioned is to relax body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what relax is or not?
Yes.
So like you're very tired, you want to relax. Then you just... It's like you completely free your mind. Just let whatever happen, just let it happen. So body and mind completely relax means you don't get involved. Like your whole body and mind doesn't want to do anything. Then this body and mind, the activity that is moving, like your heartbeat, your mental thinking and all those things, because these are the mind state that you carry over during the day. And during the day, when you go through life, you normally use up a lot of your physical energy and mental energy. So you are most of the time tired. Tired, then sometimes lethargic. Then, because when you go through life, you are not mindful, you are not aware. So you have a lot of things to attend to in life. Then all these things will come out as thought process. Because you force yourself into a posture and you are not able to move around as in your normal daily life. So what happens is when this thing happens, this activity of mind will make you think a lot, restless. Then the movement inside will disturb you. So when you relax into it, means if this mind wants to think, you just let it think. You don't just like suppress it or control it or don't allow it to think. You just let it be. Then you realize by letting it be, you become quiet. You become peaceful. You can relax into it, silent, and just maintain the quietness and silence to observe what is going on. That is mindfulness, awareness. Then if you do that, the heaviness of the head all will not happen. This thing happened because in your past, you have developed some training of the mind. You have some form of ability to develop the energy field. That's why it can come to you. Then you will feel this part like heavy, heavy. Then the back here, just now you say like very tight, very tight. But don't worry, this is due to your energy build up, understand? Then most of the time you are here, because you switch, there's a switch, you push it to the side, the top part there. There's a switch, push it. Okay. Then there's no interference. So what happened is, all this that is happening, which is the energy building up, that's why you will find it difficult to actually maintain that silent mind, the awareness. But it's okay because you have it from the past, so it will come, and you are used to chanting. So just now during the puja, we did that chanting, it will help you, it will benefit you, and you will feel good. Yeah. Then when you start to listen to my instruction, because you listen attentively, but you are so used to using the brain, you have not come to your heart area. So when you are here, the energy will build up. It will build up. So as it builds up, you will feel and experience all those things that you describe. Yeah. Then after that, what do you do? What do you do when you realize all this thing is happening?
I just accept it's happening.
Oh, very good. Just accept it. Then, do you settle down?
Yeah.
You settle down. Then, did the so-called tightness or the thing disperse?
Slowly.
Slowly.
At the end.
You feel peaceful.
When you
ring the bell. So you feel peaceful. Very good. Because by then it would have settled down. So this is the first time it will be useful. After that, you will be able to understand all this. What is most important is just relax. So I have written here, the four important support for awareness-based meditation. This type of meditation is not to develop the energy. Is to develop the silent mind, the awareness within. When you are aware without thought, that is the silent mind. That is your true mind. But when your thought arise, your thinking arise, this thinking mind, or they call it the mundane mind, the worldly mind, they will come into play. Then when this mundane mind or thinking mind starts to think, it will create a lot of mental activity. And this mental activity, if you don't have the understanding, it will bring forth the reaction of mind. Then you will like behave differently, affected by those thought process and thinking. So what you need to do is, whatever that happens, accept the reality, don't react, be at peace, and relax into it. Relax into every mind state that arises. Means whether energy build up or what, you just relax, silent and just relax. Then when I radiate metta, can you feel your own body and mind having that inner peace and inner calmness? Can you feel? When I say, may I, this body and mind, you must feel your entire body, you know, and your mind within there. Be well and happy. You must feel that each and every of your physical bodily cell within having this well-being and happiness. Yeah. So when there is this well-being and happiness and joy, your cells will become healthy. They will recuperate. Their vibration will become very good. This is the reverse of negative energy field. Like when a person has fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, fear. All these are very negative tendency. The vibration, the energy is very eerie, very negative. So this will cause your cell to mutate, lower your immune system, and make you more susceptible to disease and sickness. So meditation, if done properly, it will reverse this whole thing. So when you feel the well-being and happiness within, then when you can feel that each and every of your physical bodily cells within having this well-being and happiness, that's how you feel it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. So this well-being and happiness will bring about a lot of positive energy field within you, the positive vibe, the positive vibration that will improve your immune system. Then when you do this more and more, your mind will settle down. So the initial mind sweeping method is to teach you not to think. When you don't think, you become very quiet. You become very peaceful. Then you develop a lot of silence within. Then there is this clarity of mind, the silent mind. And when your thought does not interfere, your nature's energy, or your what they call pulse of life, they call it the life force energy, it will heal you. That's why you can have good sleep. You will recover from whatever, and your body will recuperate very well. That's the reason why doctor they give you antibiotic, knock you off so that you sleep. Your mind don't interfere. Then the nature's energy from your mind base, which is your life force from your karmic energy field, it will heal you. It will heal. It's very soothing. So this is how meditation will bring about the calmness within, the inner peace leading to the inner awareness, inner well-being, inner peacefulness. And this one will silence the mind, not to interfere. Then the healing process, you will recuperate. Then after you meditate, it's like you have rested very well, like you have slept very long, but actually it's only half an hour or something, 10, 15 minutes. Or later on, as you become very good, 45 minutes is very good rest. Then after that, your mind becomes very different, very calm, very peaceful, a lot of clarity. Then you are very fresh, like a lot of energy inside you. Then hardly any thinking. But the moment you go back to your daily life, all the usual things start again. That's how you become heedless again. Then I will explain a little bit about the mind process. The Buddha said, the reason why we are not peaceful, not able to meditate and develop the calmness, the peacefulness and the inner awareness, is because human being got these five mental hindrances. He called it the mental hindrance because these are the mind state when they arise. It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness. So the Buddha called it mental hindrance. And these five things are very common. Most living beings who never train their mind or seldom train their mind, they have this. So these five things are very simple, very easy to understand. Common sense. The Buddha identified it for you. He said the first two are sensual desire and ill will. Means it is related to your senses. As a human being, we have got five physical senses. You got your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your bodily tactile ability to feel. Then you got a mind. So the five physical senses together with the mind, they can create sense or consciousness. So the Buddha said, whenever you see something, or hear something, or smell something, or taste something, or feel something, or think of something, it will bring forth these two state of mind. Because we tend to discriminate. We tend to have preference. We have like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So the thing that we like to see, we develop the desire for that thing. You can follow? Things that you don't like, you desire, the negative desire will arise. You like dislike that thing. That's why it always oscillates between sensual desire and ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So throughout the day, whenever we see something, this discriminative mind always react and stir. The one we like, we cling, we hold, and we want it last longer, repeated. The one we don't like, we want to push it away, and we try to avoid them. But the problem with the human being's mind is, when these arise, they don't have understanding, they don't have clarity, they get themselves entangled. Entangled means they didn't know that these two states of mind, whether like or dislike, pleasant or unpleasant, these are your reaction of mind based on your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. So when you do this throughout the day, the Buddha said these mental hindrances are there, and it has become like habitual. Because every moment of sense experience, you do that. You create duality. You create the first two mental hindrances. So it, throughout the day, when you hear something also, you have this preference of like and dislike, means your mind is not at peace. Your mind always wants to latch on to things, hold on to things, and desire those things that make you feel better or happy. But like what the Buddha said, peace is very difficult to come by. Good state is very difficult to come by because human being has a lot of negative tendency or karma. So when they cannot get what they want, they become afflicted. They become unhappy. So unhappiness is also negative mind state. So throughout the day, your mind is not peaceful, don't have equanimity. It keep on arising mental hindrance until it becomes habitual. Then how can you have peace? Because these are mental hindrance. It will hinder you from entering the meditative state. So what we do is, during meditation, we don't create this. That's why you use mind sweeping method to silence. You don't think. When you don't think, there is no reaction of mind. The peacefulness will arise. Then when there is no mental hindrance, these two not around, that's why you can settle down and become more peaceful, more quiet, more relaxed, and more aware. Then you can experience the peace within, the calmness within, the clarity within. And that mind state is so different from the agitated worldly state, when you are conscious, when you are active. Because when your mind is in the active mode, it is seldom peaceful. Most of the time is hurrying, worrying, planning, scheming, trying to do this, trying to do that. Then you try to, like, firefighting. Firefighting means you got problem, you try whatever you can to solve the problem. So the normal way that human beings live their life lead to this type of mental activity that creates the mental hindrance. Then the Buddha said the worst is your mind become restless after that. Restless means it think a lot, it worry a lot. Either it has problem in life. That's why this fear, this worry, this anxiety, this unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation, they bring forth the unhappy mind which is restless. That's why this one think a lot, worry a lot. So sometimes in life, we got a lot of things that trouble us or disturb us, like health problem. Yeah? You worry about your health, sickness, disease, and all those things. Then you worry about your financial problem. So when you have financial problem, you also develop the worry. Then sometimes it's your work problem in your office. You got office problem. You got career problem. So all this will affect you, will make you think a lot, worry. Then you don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to overcome it. It makes you worse. The fear will come in. The unhappiness will come in. The fear will lead to mental projection. And this mental projection can bring about a lot of stress, a lot of pressure on you. So the mind becomes stressful, full of fear, then it worries a lot, then it cannot settle down, that's why it becomes restless. Yeah. Then sometimes also because of relationship problem, your relationship with your loved ones, with your children, with your parents, with your brothers or sisters, yeah, with people whom you have relationship with, suddenly that relationship doesn't work out well, then this relationship problem can haunt a person, like pending separation, divorce, misunderstanding, argument, or anger, hatred, jealousy. They develop more and more negativity of mind state, misunderstanding leading to all the unnecessary argument. Then they have this envy, jealousy, hatred. All this develop into very severe mental activity, which is very negative, very evil, very eerie. Then it can stress you out until you feel your heartache and all those things. That's why people become stressful and enter depression, is because of all this. So this restlessness of mind can happen when you have problems in life. Then not only that type of usual human problem, like I mentioned just now, health problem, financial problem, work-related career problem, or relationship problem. Sometimes because you don't live your life in accordance with the moral rules or society's rules, you make mistakes. Then you create your own, what they call, problem. You got yourself entangled with the law. Then sometimes it can be nature's law, like you don't keep your precept. You kill people, you harm people, you steal from people, you commit CBT in the company. Then sometimes you lie, you deceive, you cheat upon your spouse. Then you partook intoxicant, your consciousness went down. So when people come to know that you have cheated them, deceived them, or harmed them, or killed them, these people, they can become very unhappy. They want to take revenge. Then sometimes it becomes police case, like snatch thief, all those things, very serious. Then killing, murder, and all those things. Then even CBT, they can charge you. So when you break the precept, the moral rules, you cannot sleep. You go have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. You scare people take revenge. You scare the police come after you. You scare the company come after you. Then sometimes you scare the company may dismiss you, fire you, or ask you to go, or take action against you. So these are the things that create this mental hindrance. Then after that, you start to doubt because you don't know what is going on. Then some foolish people, they go and believe all this feng shui thing or medium thing. Then they go and waste a lot of money on all this. Then sometimes they seek what they call supernatural believing that it will work. And they have to pay through it. So these are the things that the Buddha called mental hindrance. When you have doubt, you don't have faith, you are not confident, you try everything. Then people say, you go and try this medium, this bomo, or maybe your feng shui no good, you change your car color. People believe this type of nonsense as well. Then you renovate your house to have good feng shui. But later on, if you come to know the teaching, you realize your life doesn't depend on all those things that they tell you. Your life depends on karma, understanding karma. Well, the Buddha say the main thing that affects your life most is law of karma, nothing else. He said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if you take care of karma, karma will take care of you. Well, your entire life depends on karma. So instead of taking care of karma, to follow the Buddha's advice to avoid all evil, do good, and meditate or purify your mind to develop the understanding of life and to free your mind, you go and do all those things that is not related. Then you get yourself deceived, wasted a lot of money, and become worse and worse. That is what is happening to the world. So feng shui got its own science, of course. We don't want to comment. There are people who believe. It's up to them. Because feng shui to me is man and nature must harmonize. So if you know feng shui, you know how to harmonize, it will benefit you initially. But not much. Because your entire life depends on karma. You don't have the good karma, you cannot receive all this. Even though you have good qi coming, good location, good feng shui, so on. You don't have the good karmic inheritance, saum hei, they say, you cannot receive them. Yeah. So this is what mental hindrance are all about. Then the third one is sloth and torpor, or the Buddha calls sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind. When you come and do meditation, you don't see the importance and you cannot understand, you will feel sleepy. But luckily for your case, you don't have that problem. So this sleepiness of mind, lethargic mind, a lot of people experience it during the initial stage of meditation. So when these things are there, you cannot be peaceful. Your mind cannot settle down. So meditation is to understand that with the mental hindrance arising, you cannot meditate. You cannot be peaceful. That's the reason why human beings are not able to be in a state of calmness, peacefulness. That's why I always ask this question, why are you not peaceful? Why are you not happy? Because of this mental hindrance. So the Buddha said, when this arises, the mental hindrance, don't fight it. Don't suppress it. Don't control it. Don't go and do anything about it. But these are natural mind states that arise if you don't have the opposite five, which the Buddha called spiritual faculties. That's why we are here to develop this five. Then your meditation becomes very simple. You straight away will enter the meditative state. Well, when these five arise, the hindrance cease. And these five are also common sense, the Buddha said. First one is your faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. You don't have to believe him, he said. You must have faith in his teaching. You must understand who he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. And his teaching is very unique. Well, it can give rise to understanding and wisdom to enable you to understand life, live life, and liberate your mind so that you can become enlightened and you will have no more suffering, no more misery or unhappiness after that, no matter what happened to you and the world or your loved ones. So this faith in him is very important. So when you have this faith, it will drive you to cultivate, because you see the importance of this teaching. When you understand this teaching, it can transform your life. It can change you completely from a heedless living being with a lot of mental hindrance to a beautiful human being with all the mental, spiritual faculties that make you very different. Then with this spiritual faculty, you can understand his spiritual teaching. You can meditate very easily. Then your mind becomes different. Then you can transform and become a beautiful human being. Both understanding-wise, character-wise, personality-wise, you become very different. So with this faith, when you see the importance of who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, you will go all out to cultivate. And this is what virya is all about. It's the spiritual zeal or tenacity. So once you have this, you will not be sleepy. You see? Then once you have this faith, you will not have doubt. Your mind will be very calm, very composed. You are very focused. You know what to do. Then you just move forward with the cultivation. And the first thing about cultivation is to develop mindfulness, sati, the silent mind. Without the mental hindrance, you are already peaceful. Without thought, you are already aware. So this one is very easy. You come for meditation within a few sessions, or sometimes less than one session, you go back, do some practice, you will settle down. Then when sati or mindfulness arises, this is a very important mind state to develop meditation. But this is the silent mind, where you can be quiet, peaceful, aware without thought. Sati is there. When you are just aware without any thinking, any stirring of the mind, verbalization, chattering or command, reacting and all those things, then your mind settles down. It becomes peaceful. It becomes aware, mindful. Then when mindfulness develops, meditation starts. You only have to stabilize this. That's why just now I said my sweeping method will transform your heedless thinking into a quiet mind state, sati, mindfulness. Then you have to stabilize this to develop samadhi. Samadhi is a state of mind that is collected and unwavering. Means every moment of sense experience, later on when you have samadhi, if you see something, this mind does not stir, does not react, because it's collected, unwavering. So if it does not stir and react, means sensual desire and ill will not arise. You will always be at peace because of the stability of mindfulness leading to samadhi. So the mind that has this state of sati and samadhi will be able to see things as they are. Because the mind does not stir, does not move. The views and opinion cannot come in and disturb you. Then you can see things as they are, and then insight into phenomena and awaken. Then suddenly you realize truth is not what the thought think or say. It's not from the brain. It's not from all this mental activity. It's not the words. It's before the words. It's just an understanding, awakening. Then you develop what they call wisdom or panya. Yeah. So the five spiritual faculties, the moment they are there, when there is sati, there is no thinking. No thinking means no sensual desire, no ill will, no restlessness of mind. The mind is just calm. Then unwavering also same. Sensual desire, ill will cannot arise. Restlessness of mind cannot arise. Otherwise, samadhi cannot be there. Yeah. Then when wisdom is there, all these five cannot arise. That's how you develop the ability to meditate. So coming back to your case, you remember to relax into it, then just silence your mind. To be aware is just silencing your mind. Don't think. Let it be. The thought, if it arises, let it arise. After a while, it will settle down by itself. It will cease by itself. But it's just thinking, born of response to memory, attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. If the mind don't have all this, then it will not arise thought. When the spiritual faculty is there, it will just be aware, silent. So here I put in a note. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So you don't practice to be aware. You don't try to be aware. Because the trying and the practicing is by the thought. When thought is active, you cannot develop the silent mind. You cannot have mindfulness. That's why you just let things be silent. Be with the moment, just aware. Then body and mind move as one. The breathing and the awareness move as one. That is what mindfulness is all about. Mindfulness of your in and out breath. Mindfulness of everything you do, your four posture. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. Sitting, aware. Lying down, aware. Then all your in-between movement, you are fully aware. Bending, stretching, turning, lying down, to sleep, to rest. You're fully aware, without thought. You just relax, silent, aware. Then if you can maintain this awareness and relaxed state for as long as you can. I put here 24 hours. You know, technically, you can do it, the meditation, in the midst of life. Continuous 24 hours, it can be done. So when you are able to be mindful most of the time, your mind doesn't think like before. It's always aware, clarity, full of joy, full of understanding, full of clarity, full of peacefulness. It's without the hindrance. Only the mental states are there. Spiritual faculties are there. It's just all the time aware, silent, peaceful, with the joy, with the understanding, with the clarity, with the peacefulness of mind. Then all of the good mind state like love, compassion, contentment, generosity, respect, gratitude towards people who have helped you before, they will arise. Then there is joy. There is understanding. There is no more reaction of mind, stirring of mind. That's how the meditation develops. Then after that, finally, when your mind settles down until it's so calm, so peaceful, and so still, it will have the ability to detect your gateway to your nature. then your true mind will arise. When your true mind arises, you go to the fourth support, trust. Trust means no more thinking, no more thought involved. You just trust your nature to do the meditation. So to do that, this silent mind must be very stable. Then you rest at the heart area, silent everything and don't do anything. This silent mind will detect the gateway. Then you will know how to move. You will know how to meditate on its own. Nobody is guiding it or driving it or doing anything to interfere with it. And that is the real meditation. Okay? So this is just the summary of it. Later I give you the books, you go back and read, you will understand. Since you got some Buddhist foundation, it will help you, because even through reading from the internet, if you have the keen interest, it will help you. But you will understand better if you really spend time and reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding. Because the Buddha said wisdom can arise in three phases. Three phases. Yeah. He said initially what we need to do is, it's all in the notes there. The first stage is called Pariyatti in Pali. Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. I write it down here. So first phase. First phase is Pariyatti. This one is the learning of the teaching. Means you learn the essential teaching. Like when you come for class, you learn. Then you go back, you read, you can understand better. So first phase is just learning. Then second phase. The Buddha called it Patipatti. Patipatti is to put the teaching into practice. To put this teaching into practice. Then finally, the third phase. Third phase is the most beautiful phase. Third phase is the most beautiful. This one is called Pativeda. So this one is the Pativeda, which is the friction of your hard work. So when your hard work comes to friction, means you become enlightened. You get to live the life of enlightened being. So this is what all cultivator or all Buddhists is trying to realize. The enlightenment, or they call it the realization of Nibbana. So you learn the teaching, you develop the understanding, then after that I will give you one book, the Heart Sutta, where all the teaching is there. Then you understand it, then you put it into practice. Putting it into practice is very important. Then only you can develop the true understanding. If you don't put it into practice, you only know the theory, only the knowledge. The knowledge cannot help you, cannot free you. You understand? Like last time Kiat Hun went through, he knows. I know we have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind or meditate, like the Buddha's advice. But you cannot do, because you don't know what constitutes evil. If you don't know what constitutes evil, how can you cultivate to avoid all evil? That's why you have to understand what constitutes evil. And the Buddha in his teaching or teach, he said the three evil roots that human beings constantly arise, leading to the five mental hindrances. They are the evil roots of your greed, hatred, and delusion. Greed, the meaning is very wide. All of your greediness is part of greed. But all of your selfish intention and selfishness also part of greed. Understand? All of your desire, your craving, your attachment, your grasping, your holding on to, they are all part of greed. Your covetousness, your desire, these are all greed. And it's an evil root. The moment you have that, it makes you evil. Even your lust, your craving, they are all evil root of greed. Then the second evil root is your anger, your hatred. They call it ill will, negative tendency. It's not only your anger, your hatred, all of your violence, your aggressiveness, your whatever envy, jealousy, negative mindset, they are all part of the evil root of hatred. Yeah. So this like very, very severe negativity, yeah, they are all under this evil root. Then the last one is delusion. Greed, hatred, and delusion. And what is delusion? Delusion means you are deluded. You don't understand who you are, what you are, what this phenomenal world is all about. Things that are impermanent, you think is very, very permanent. You think this will last forever, the good time. No. You think this body will never get old, get sick, and die. Cannot. It will go the way of nature. That's why it has this characteristic, because it is impermanent, dependent on condition, it manifests. Then it goes through the four phase cycle of growth, what they call aging is later. Growth got two phases, understand? You as a kid you grow very fast, understand? Then you reach puberty. Then you grow until the prime, understand? Then after that, you cannot grow anymore. The growth hormone no more. Then what happens? You start to decay, get old, like the plant, the tree. Then after that, you become very, very old, understand? That is the dying phase, understand? So everything moves through this four-phase cycle. Like our universe is the same. The universe is born. Then it grows, it flourishes. Civilization also, they until the peak. Then, condition will cause it to fall. Economic cycle is the same. That's why you have the boom and bust theory. And all this come about due to what? Greed and fear. If there is no human greed, no human fear, there is no cycle. Understand? So, like the economic cycle, you know how it come about. When everything is starting to do well, what happened? Everybody become greedy, understand? We are so easy to make money. Everybody will go into it. Then what happened? This sustainability is in question. It cannot be a situation where everybody make money, understand? So it will reach a point where it will burst. So when it bursts, means that time, the economists will say, very dangerous, a bubble build up already, going to explode already. Why? Because unsustainable, they say. Why? He said, your loan growth, when he talked about your GDP, yeah? Your debt level, your loan, is so high a percentage compared to your GDP. Means your people are living on gearing. Understand or not? Loan. Then if the economy reverse, sudden collapse, what happened? Let's say property cycle collapse. Everybody will be running for their own survival. Understand or not? Then the collapse come. So when the collapse come, the vicious cycle start. No, your property got no value. No. Then the bank who force you to pay back, you cannot pay because your loan is so high. Then during that time, inflation push the interest rate up and you find it more difficult to pay. So what happened? You default. When you default, he also default because your customer who depend on you will also be affected. So that what they call, you call it domino effect. It will hit. Then after that, the bank lend himself with what? All the bad asset. So they say fire sale. So all the for selling come out. Stock market also got for selling. Property, bank also for sale. Then like the mortgage crisis, everybody's rating becomes so bad, hardly anybody is eligible to buy. So it becomes toxic asset. So during that time, the economy has to adjust. Then that time, the factory closed down, a lot of business closed down, no job around. So cut pay, like we went through the 80s, then the 90s. After you cut pay, what happened? Retrench. After you retrench, you cannot, like last time, try to negotiate for your pay package. I remember during 1986, the engineers, the professional people, they say no need salary, they work for you. Because they need experience. Understand not? New graduate, no experience, cannot get a job. My office took in a few. There was one architect lady who come. I said, we are civil engineering consulting firm. Never mind, just take me in. But I can't find a job. Then the civil engineer also came. No need salary. I just want to work for experience. So it becomes so bad. So your bargaining power no more. So everybody become like more, come back to reality. Yeah, means salary become cheap. Bank will have to sell things cheap. Then they will have to lower interest rate to stimulate economy. So normally they go to IMF. You know what IMF do? He asks you to do a fire sale. He said those that are not efficient, kill them. All the business and all the bank, make them bankrupt. Then the foreign people with the money, they call themselves foreign fund, they will buy up all your banks and blue chip. That's how they take over your economy. And Mahathir didn't want to go that way. That's why he imposed capital control that year, 1997, I remember. So this is how the world economy works. So when all these things reverse, salary low, interest rate low, things are cheap, and then business start again. Business start again. Then you can make money already. You have no need salary, also people work for you. How not to make money? Then things are very cheap. Rental also, nobody rent, everything is cheap. So business start. Then as the business turn around, people saw, more people go in. People become more hardworking. Then as they recover, the economy will start again. Then the whole economic cycle start. So all this come about because of greed and fear. So the Dhamma is the same. It's the same. If there is no human weakness, the human civilization will be very beautiful. It will flourish. It will last very long. But because of human greed, this three evil root that I try to explain to you, the last one is delusion. When you are deluded, you will hold on to this greed, hatred, and what they call ambition and desire and all those things that will drive you to do things without the moral value. Means you violate nature's law. You dare to cheat. You dare to deceive. You dare to swindle people. That's why in the stock market also, you got a lot of these unscrupulous CEO, business owners who did all this nonsense. Then sometimes the authority also gang up with them. The bank also gang up with them. So a lot of bogus loan and all those things. So they just want to, you look at all those schemes, cepat kaya and all those things. the gold, the scandal and all those things. These are all preying on people's greed, attract them, paying so high an interest. If the interest rate can be 20% a month, you think you want to work or not? No need to work, isn't it? Got 200,000 or 100,000, 1 month you get 20,000. No. What type of business is better than that? Who wants to work? Understand or not? Huh? And all those JPTTROs is promising you 24% a month. No. And got people put money inside, no? Because they say they receive the what they call the dividend. No? Yeah. But the first few may receive. The later one, the pyramid down there, all will be affected. So there is a lot of such thing going on. So greed, hatred, and delusion. Delusion, the key thing is you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma and how you function as a human being, how your mind manifests, the dependent origination, the dwelling, all you don't understand. Then when you entangle yourself, it leads to negativity or karma, it leads to mental hindrance, it leads to karmic negativity, and you fall. And when you fall, you will experience a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. And all this suffering and misery is born of delusion. That's why your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your deep resentment, unsatisfactoriness, unhappiness, these are all part of delusion. Especially your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your mental, what they call, your mental problem. They are all born of delusion. Without delusion, you won't have mental problem. You won't have depression. You won't go into problematic situation. You won't get yourself entangled. Even whatever happened in life, we call it the life reality, reality of life existence. You can have financial problem, relationship problem, career problem, job problem, or whatever problem related to life, even police case and all those things. But when you have the understanding of the teaching, it's not a problem. It's only a problem when you perceive it with fear and negativity. True or not? If I perceive it with wholesomeness, and I call it blessing in disguise, then it's no more a problem. If I don't get into this trouble, I will not turn to Dhamma. Then I will not realize this teaching. That's why it's a blessing in disguise. So to me, I should develop the joy. Otherwise, I never look at this thing. I only search because I get into this trouble. So sometimes if you perceive it with wholesomeness, blessing in disguise, then you turn things around. Then you develop the faith. Because this is what I'm supposed to understand. And last time, because I don't understand this teaching, I get myself entangled. Now I understand, I will go all out and cultivate it. That is what the teaching is about. That's why when you understand, learn the teaching, see the beauty in it, then you understand the importance of this teaching. It will drive you to cultivate the virya. Then you will go and cultivate practice. Then when you realize this teaching and become enlightened, you get to live the beautiful life of an enlightened being. So after that, no more fear, no more worry, no more problem. Mind is always peaceful, full of clarity, full of love, full of joy, full of happiness. Then life becomes meaningful. Then you become a blessing to all. You are so beautiful. You are incapable of negativity. You have all the embodiment of the Buddha's virtue, wisdom, and understanding. You hold the Noble Eightfold Path. You have right view leading all the way to right thought, right speech, right action. And you live life beautifully. Even our class, any of the class, Tuesday or Thursday or Sunday, compared to most people who don't attend this spiritual class and understanding, you know what they are doing. They are either drinking, gambling, or wasting their time on materialistic things. Sometimes they go and worry, think, plan, and do all those foolish things, scheme, and every time trying to solve their problem. Because everything is like problem to them. They worry so much. First, They worry about themselves, yeah? Their own life, their own health, their own relationship with people. Yeah. Too much money, also worry. No money, also worry. Rain also complain, no rain also complain. Understand? Too harsh also complain, too good also complain. So this is what human being is all about. Then got property, don't know how to appreciate, don't have contentment, also complain. Why my tenant never pay me rent? Why this authority tax me so much? Now rental also GST, sales also GST. Then you say, the tenant, small thing also asked me to go and do the repair and all those things. Oh. People want to own property also, no chance. You got property, you complain. You say, wow, so much thing, got to pay quick rent, got to pay assessment rent, got to every now and then go and collect rent. Then some tenant, not what you think, you know. You can complain, I mean, because you don't understand. So, have also complain. Don't have also complain. So what are you doing? You are not living life. Then not only your problem or something. After that, you worry about your children. Ayo, why my children cannot make it? Why are they still like that? Then later on, worry about your grandchildren. Wow, if they grow up with this type of parent, how? Huh? Now, property is so expensive, they cannot afford. Wow, so you got to plan. Like one of the Kayamina told me, he got to open a special trust account for the grandchildren. So that their overseas education all taken care, so that when they grow up, you know, I say, your own problem also, you don't know how to handle, you go and worry about your children and your grandchildren. This is not life. Life is understanding. When you have understanding, you know what to do. Then you are at peace, you are contented. Life is beautiful. That's why, if you have this understanding of the teaching, you become so different. You know that all this will create suffering if you don't know how to handle them well or use them. Because your property, your wealth, come to you because of your parami, your generosity parami, your past inheritance. That's how you receive them. So you must know how to use them. Is it a problem to use them? I got one very close friend. He used to tell me this. He said, a lot of people are very stupid. Got money also, got problem. He said, to me, all these are good problems. But they got a lot of money. They go and worry about that money. Got money means what? Better than those who are without money. So, money problem, when you have money, is a good problem, isn't it? You know what they say or not? They say, I don't know how to plan my wealth, how to distribute them. Who to give to? Which children more reliable? Should I give some to my grandchildren? Then my this friend always say, hey, wake up. This is good problem. You have money, don't know what to do. Is that a problem? What about those old bank, old people at the verge of bankruptcy? Those are real problems. So if you look at situation with clarity and understanding, then you realize this is not a problem at all. Compared to those who are worse off than you, that is more severe. And yet that can be turned around too when you understand. Your law of karma is like that. Condition like that, things will be like that. If in the past you don't take care of karma, this life you come, you will go through all this. You will get yourself entangled. Then if you don't be careful about karma, you simply live your life, it will condition future karmic negativity. That in future when you come, maybe you face worse situation than this. That's why you have to take care of karma. Then when you understand this teaching, you realize, hey, life is very simple. If I learn the teaching, I develop the understanding, then I have this beautiful life. Not so real, not what you think. This form of mind that come with your karmic conditioning to this world is for you to use, to live life. So use it. Don't go and worry about you getting old, getting sick and dying. But this flow is not you, one at all. This is element. Go the way of nature. That's why I wrote here. Car and the driver. If I give you this analogy, you understand, isn't it? Yeah? Can you understand that? The human being is actually like a car and the driver. The car is like your physical body, isn't it? Where the car take you around. Correct not? Yeah? Take you around. Yeah? So it's a vehicle that take you around. So this body take you around. Then who is the driver? Who drives this body? In the car, you see the driver, isn't it? In the human body, what you see? It's the mind, isn't it? The mind, the consciousness, that say, I want to go home. Then this fellow go home. I want to have a drink. Sit down, have a drink. So the driver is the mind. Understand? If it's in the situation where you see the car and the driver, you know these two are separate, isn't it? But in the human form, these two, you take it as one. You say, human being. Understand? So in the real life situation, if the car get into trouble, accident, or entangle itself, did you cry? Maybe you become unhappy because your purse will suffer, understand? But the driver, if let's say he don't get hurt, it's only the car, understand? So what must you do? Send it to the mechanic. Get the best one. Claim the insurance. Then everything resolved. If you're stupid and go and argue and blame, then people whack you. You hospitalize worse. Understand? So this is understanding. See that it's just a car. But when the human body gets sick, you never treat it like a car. No? You think I am sick. No? That's why the attachment creates mental suffering. And the Buddha said, when your body is sick, don't make your mind also sick. Then you're doubly sick. Understand?
That's the same thing as the empty nature.
Yeah. Because these two are conditioned arising. Understand not? They come together because of karma. No karma, no form of mind. No human being. So you take care of karma, these two become beautiful. You will have all this understanding that you then you know how to look at it. Then, oh, if this body is sick, I don't have to worry about it getting sick, getting old, and die. Because this is separate from me. So in the world, what happened? When this one very bad accident, let's say, beyond economical repair, what do? You condemn this car, yeah? Then buy a new car, yeah? But you got money, what? The owner or the driver got money, you buy a new car, yeah? Karma is the same. You got good karma, next life, you get a good car, understand? If you don't take care of karma, next life, what do you get? No car. Ojang also don't have. They call it Volkswagen. The walking one, no, not the VW. No. The walking wagon. No. So you can't even have a car. The next life you come. That's how they become miserable. So knowing this analogy, then you will know why the Buddha said this body is not me. Because human being will never believe that this is not you. You will counter even what I say or the Buddha say. Brother, why you say not me? I want to eat, I eat. I want to walk, I walk. I want to go anywhere, I go. I want to commit suicide, also can. Why you say not me? Logical or not? Very logical, isn't it? So do you think this is really you? Yeah? Do you think it's really you? I ask you another question, then you will answer me differently. Let's say this body, not you lah, maybe my body, one day develop paralysis from the waist down. You ask this fellow to walk? Cannot walk already, understand? Then is it me? I got no more control. No? I only have control when it's functioning. Understand? So this car is the same. When the car is in perfect condition, good condition with the petrol, everything, the driver want to drive, no problem. You want to speed, you want to brake, you want to slow down, you want to create the manual, the move, whatever that this car is designed for, that it can be done, it will be possible. But what happens when that car has problem? No more petrol. Or engine develop problem. Even F1 driver, this car will not move. Understand? So this car and this driver, they are dependent on the condition for them to be one and for them to move together. So these are what the teaching is all about. This is condition arising phenomena. When this physical body is in functioning, is in perfect functioning order, it will behave in such a way that it can listen to this mind. Whatever the mind wants it to do, it can do. Yeah, there is condition for it to do. So now you can see, when there is no condition, this body don't believe, don't obey what you say anymore. Because it is not you. It doesn't belong to you. It is part of nature's condition. From nature it comes. To nature it will return. That's why the Buddha said, this body goes the way of nature. You have to reflect, you have to contemplate. Make of element, no knowing. How can it be you? Even the mind has the consciousness and the knowing, it's also not you. But you can't see because you don't meditate, you don't silence your mind. So if you say the mind is you, what can the mind do? The mind can feel, can perceive, can think and become conscious of what it sees. Right? This is my ability. Right? I can feel hot or cold. I can perceive all the things through my vision, through my smell, through my taste, through my tongue, my tactile, and my thought process. So this is what mind is all about. Then I analyze every aspect of my feeling. Is feeling really me? Is feeling really permanent? So every time I feel something, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feeling, let's say that feeling that I feel arise and pass away. Did I die? Did you die? You didn't die yet. Even the good feeling, after it's gone, another feeling, which is unpleasant feeling, arise. Did you die? You didn't die yet. So feeling come and go. You didn't die. You are still around. So how can feeling be you? True or not? Feeling is definitely not you. Similarly, perception is the same. They come and go. You're still around. Consciousness also same. Thought also same. If they are not you, then how come they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? That is the meditation. When you understand all this, you are not deluded anymore. Then you know these are karmically conditioned for you to use. Then like I explained to Vivian, your mind, this one, is like a tool. Eh? We call it tool. T-O-O-L. To serve you. You understand? For you to use. To serve you. When you come to this world, it's for you to use. Use means like a knife. How you use the knife? If you use it properly, means cut vegetable, shape things, carve things, and help you to do things. But if you use that knife wrongly to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit others, is that the right way to use that tool? It's not very wrong, isn't it? But precisely, human being is using their mind that way, you know, to harm themselves, hurt themselves, and make themselves miserable until they go into depression and cuckoo, understand? Where they think the wrong thought, negative thought, the depressive thought. Then they use it to hit out at others through anger, through hatred, through emotional negativity and violence, aggressiveness. This is how human beings use that mind wrongly, negatively, to create negative karma. That's why the Buddha said, your mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. You have to take care of that mind. If you don't take care of that mind, you will become mischievous. Through delusion, you will create a lot of karmic negativity that bring forth the negativity of karma. Then the fruition of it, the format mind become miserable. We are these two subject to karma, even though it's not real, not you, karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world to use. but it's subject to karma. So all these are just, I try to use worldly language to explain to you so that you see clearly that these are not what you think. You're not deluded by it. But when you meditate and realize all this through the meditation, then it becomes your own understanding, your own wisdom. It's no more a knowledge, no more an information given by me or anybody else, including the Buddha. Because when you realize this, you can have the mind like the Buddha that realizes it. That's why the Buddha's problem is initially when he left the palace was because he saw the four signs. Remember? The four signs. He went out of the palace. He saw a very old man, sick man, a dead man. Then the last one is the holy man, Samana. So when he saw the sick, the old person, he don't understand. He asked the attendant, how come this person is like that? So weak, so fragile, so full of white hair and all those things. Then everything like failing, the senses, everything, and full of suffering, misery. The attendant said, this is an old man. He said, what you mean by old man? He said, every living being, if you live like long enough, you will end up like that. This is called aging, getting old. Then you will also become sick, very fragile. Your senses will start to fail you, your organ will start to fail you. Then you develop a lot of mental problem, sickness, disease, and all those things. Then he realized all the good things that the father has given him, the four palaces, the four seasons, all the good life, has got no more meaning at that time. He said, I got a problem. I cannot overcome all his sickness and finally I must die. See, he immediately see the impermanent and meaningless aspect behind all those good life that he was having. And he knew sooner or later he cannot confront this so-called aging, sickness and disease, and finally have to confront with death. So he got no question, no answer for this three things. That's why he decided to renounce, become a monk, and go this way, renunciation. Then later on he meditated, he realized the form and mind is not him. That's why his problem solved. The body that gets old is not him. That's why he teach you the five daily contemplation. He said we should contemplate every day. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Because this one made of element go the way of nature, not me. That's how he free. And if this is not real, how can this one own anything? That's why whatever you think you own, when conditions cease to be, they will separate from you. When your breath stops, your identity erased, you don't own anything. Understand? Even when you are still around, the thing that you think you own, when their breath stops, your loved one also separate from you. They also don't stay behind with you. Your possession all will be gone. When economic crisis hit, you make a wrong call or wrong decision, it's gone. That's why everything that arises within this conditioned world, they are conditioned, arising, dependent, originating. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No such thing. That's why the universal characteristics of impermanent is very powerful. And when you know that it's impermanent, following nature's law, you want things your way, not accepting nature's law, which governs all of life existence, you will become afflicted. You will suffer. You will become miserable when you cannot get what you want. When your expectations in life are not met, you will become afflicted. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it's non-self, not you. And it's empty, empty nature, because finally there is nothing. Birth and death is just a passing moment. You understand? Like the famous Zen saying or Chinese saying, when we are born into this world, we come with what? We come with nothing. Lai ye kong. You know Mandarin, isn't it? When you die, you also cannot take anything along, isn't it? Qi ye kong. Namo si zu, the Buddha say, he bi ku ku in between, wei kong liu lei. Because the coming is empty, the going also empty. Then why you grieve in between? Over what? Emptiness. That's why it's not what you think. Because you believe they are real. You become emotional. Then you develop your own selfishness. You cling, you grab. Then you cannot get what you want, you become miserable. Then the fear of losing them. The fear of getting sick, getting old and die. That's why there is delusion. Then when you attach and cling, because the thought tells you, very logical, you become afflicted. But if you have this understanding, then you see clearly in the meditation that it's not you, then you can laugh at the dead. My teacher used to tell me, you can laugh at the dead. Means before you die, you can laugh, you can smile. Because you know how to die. He always say, you must know how to die before you die. Before the physical body and mind really die. The mind must understand all this and die of all defilement. Means no more negativity, no more delusion. When that mind know how to die, have no more delusion, then when it comes to the true dying, no more problem. Yeah. The mind is not affected at all. That's why you must know how to die before you die. If you don't know how to die before you die, you will fear death. You will become miserable at the moment of death. Because a lot of people have tremendous fear. Yeah. They don't know what happened. After I die, what happened? Then they hear a lot of stories. I've done so many negative things. No, I deceive, I cheat, sure go to hell. So how? Then some say, you're not baptized, you're not a Christian, eternal hell. Or worse still, eternal, no chance to come out. So what happened? Buy insurance, go and baptize. Last minute, accept God. You think that will help you? Because after you die only, you know what is the reality. Then after you die, let's say, whatever you do, you realize no meaning, because there is no eternal heaven waiting for you. Then where you go? You realize karma drive you. That time not enough time to regret it. Where you cannot recall anything the next birth. You hardly can recall anything. Where you come, take the next birth, you can be a peta down there. You can be an animal, chicken in the coop, or a chick. Then how can you recall anything? Or you can take birth as a insect, also can, possible. Then sometimes you have lived a good life, you keep your precept, then you have goodness, merits, wholesomeness, you can take birth in the heavens. Yeah. Then just now, there's one part I want to share. I share this, then we can end almost 10:30. You see, when you come to all these classes, yeah, just now I didn't finish any of this class, you are doing so much wholesome thing compared to the heedless living being that worry about life and create all those suffering and do all those unfruitful things. What are the fruitful things that you can do? The Buddha said there are 10 types of merits. They call it meritorious action that you can do. And you will perform them all here. And these 10 types of merits are very powerful. It can help you. It is your spiritual wealth in the setup. You can use that wealth, merits, to make aspiration for causes and conditions for you to gain certain things. So when you come, straight away we pay respect. It's a meritorious action. Then we make offering, generosity, dana. It's a meritorious action. Then we keep our precept, we renew our precept. Keeping precept is a meritorious action, where you don't harm others and you don't create negativity. You avoid all evil. You build up your virtue. Then you are incapable of evil. You will prevent your karma from becoming negative. Then we meditate. You remember? We meditate. Then we radiate loving kindness. This is also generosity. We radiate love and kindness to ourselves, then to others, then to all beings. Then after that, we rejoice. We say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoicing is another meritorious action. Then after that, we share merit. It's another meritorious action. Then we transfer merit to the devas, to all beings. Yeah. Then after that, we straighten our view. We listen to the teaching. These are all meritorious actions. Then we provide service to the community, to the Buddhist community, to the Kayamita around us. So all these are the 10 meritorious actions that you can develop and perform. And this one, you done with faith and understanding, it becomes very powerful. Then you develop the training of your mind to have the spiritual faculty instead of being heedless throughout the day. And this will make you very beautiful, spiritually very beautiful. And this fine spiritual faculty can be developed through our puja, our chanting. You read the English translation, you will understand. It's to build up the faith, sadha, the virya, then cultivate mindfulness. Like that book, the blue book. That day I gave to you and your Burmese friend. How you do puja with mindfulness. Like when you come in, you are fully aware and mindful. Then when you put all those things on the whatever tray, you are fully aware. Then you place it there, then you rejoice. Then when we start the puja, we will normally rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, means you mindful. You attentively observing. Then when they raise the offering and rejoice, you also rejoice, but you are aware of your action and movement. Then when they pass it to you, you are aware of their movement. Then when you extend your hand to receive, you are mindful. Then when you raise this offering and offer it to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, and all the great beings, you are also aware and you also rejoice. Then you pass on to the next Kayaramita with awareness. The body and mind move as one. You are training yourself in sati. And that is meditation. And if throughout the day you can develop this into a new habit, then you are living a heedful life instead of a heedless life. Means most of the time you're aware. Yeah. Then when you sit, all your movement, you are aware. When you listen attentively, you are aware. Even your blinking of your eye, your turning of your hand or whatever. And all the activity that you can see within your field of vision, you can be mindful of it. Like even I share, you may think I talk, but my nature is aware. That's like all your movement, my nature can see. You're scratching your movement, like the lady digging the ear and all those things. Then whether you are attentive or not attentive, this nature can see, can feel. That's why the awareness is always there, because this nature within is still, silent, no movement. The talking and the sharing is by the physical body and mind. Understand? And from the understanding, which is from the nature, this understanding is not somewhere recorded or what. It's within the nature. And it just come out like that. It's like the drum. How does the vibration from the drum come out? Before you hit it, there is nothing in there. That's why from emptiness, it comes out. The moment you hit, you introduce the condition, then the vibration, depending on your drum, how tight and how skillful you are in handling. Then you can create the drum sound according to the condition. Then you can listen to it. Then the moment it stops, still, no movement. The true mind is like that, nothing inside there. It don't hold on to anything, no knowledge, no memory, nothing. It's just that nature. But the format mind is different. It has a brain. This one is a separate entity. But because it's connected to this format mind, this understanding and the true nature will know how to use this. And it will know this is not him or her. So this is the understanding behind. And when you develop this understanding, you become beautiful. You are really beautiful. So I hope tonight's sharing will help you to understand further. So let us stop the sharing. Rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I will do the sharing on merits. You want to follow, you turn to page 15. Sharing on merits with the devas. Iwa Chanda Pali. Akasata ca bumata Deva naga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Jirang rakan tu loka sasana Itta wata ca amehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabasampati sidiya Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hontu nyatyo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hontu nyatyo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hontu nyatyo. Ibina punyang kamena mame bala sama gamo. Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay your respect to Lord Buddha, then we can end our session. Mifong for allowing us the condition to have the Dhamma sharing on the Thursday class in their homes. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. Then you all can help with the fruits. You must help to share it, then pass it so that some can take back. Because Suyan and Mifong, they cannot take much. You all better help to take it back. So this is a good way of sharing.